back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM 106.1 FM.
And welcome back. Glad to have George Lobby joining us as our co-host on a Tuesday, October 12th edition here on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM, Husker Radio's KODY. And George, busy week for you last week, and that continues and kind of picks up today as a murder trial in the Lincoln County court system resumes today.
Correct. Yep. Yep, it started last week on Tuesday last week, and went Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and there'll be another at least day or two, it looks like. Hard to predict for sure, but the defense is going to present their side of the case later today if things go according to schedule.
It's
an interesting, very interesting trial.
The county has one more witness they're thinking they're going to call to the stand today?
That's the word at the end of the day Friday.
Okay.
But things can change sometimes over the weekend.
Sure.
Too. So there again, it's hard to say what's happened until it happens. But
sure.
That looks like the outline of the plans anyway, yeah.
This is obviously a big, big story, and the North Platte Bulletin is continuing to provide updates pretty much day in and day out. I did see the cover story of the print edition that is out at convenience stores, gas stations, and grocery stores at this time.
Right.
Really dives into a recap of what happened in the early part of the trial.
Well, yeah, it was the opening statements, which each attorney presents their side of the case to the jurors. And talks about what they're going to show with the evidence and their testimonies of the witnesses. So that's a pretty good outline of what, you know, of the case, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's both sides, and it's kind of shows what facts are not disputed and which ones are, and then what the disputes, how they might be settled or resolved, depending on the evidence and the testimony that actually comes forward. So it's a really good overview of the case, and so that story is in this week's print edition. It's still timely if you want to go look at it. It's pick a copy up on the off the shelves on a rack or something. And then on our website we have some day-to-day updates, and we'll continue to have those, and we'll have another summary report in the weekly paper this week.
Awesome. So
yeah, it's you know, I think these are very, this is where you see our justice system at work.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's interesting and intriguing because it's such a serious matter.
Very serious.
Yeah, tragic matter. So this is how society deals with that. And our society, our system of justice is pretty, I would, you know, exemplary,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's working as it should. And, you know, I learned about this a couple days in class as a student in elementary school or high school, but to really see it in action and unfold over several days, it's kind of a unique opportunity to study our system. And so I think it's very important to cover it.
And typically, county court is open to the public, too, as long as you are respectful, quiet, you obey the basic rules and principles.
Yeah, county and district court. This happens to be in district court, which is where felonies end up. But
mm-hmm.
there are two levels of courts, and the counties take the initial pleadings, and then if it's a felony, it's referred to district court.
Okay.
And county then goes ahead and decides on the misdemeanor charges.
Sure.
So, anyway, that's the way that little level works. But both courts are open to the public, and a lot of times family and friends will come in. Sometimes other media. In this case, some other attorneys are coming in and watching for a while.
Really?
Yeah. And but it's there's plenty of room if anybody wants to come up and watch a little bit of it. You know, I have to say, it unfolds a lot more slowly in reality than it does in the newspaper story.
Or even on TV.
We condense it down. Well, it depends. You know, if I haven't watched a trial on TV, if it's It's slower than Judge Judy or
Yeah, Trump that's what I'm think. Saying. Yeah. And Chief Hudson has brought this up many times in reporting back on cases that the police department's involved in or investigating.
Uh-huh.
It's so quick when you watch the TV cops. Mm-hmm. They can solve the case in 45 minutes because you have to have the 15 minutes for commercials, of course.
Right.
And you see the court cases sometimes with some of these TV shows, too. They can play out in, 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not reality.
No. Nope.
That's not reality at all.
No.
But
that's a condensed version for the benefit of the viewers or the readers.
Yeah.
But still, it's interesting. You really see them, if you're watching in person, you really see them as human beings. And they stutter once in a while. Or they stammer. Or sometimes a witness will get very emotional and have
sure.
to, put themselves back together a little bit. Or
it's an emotional thing.
Gather their wits again. And sometimes a bystander or somebody in the gallery will get emotional and have to leave the courtroom for a little while. But there's a comparable amount of stammering and stuttering, I would say. And that's reality, too. Everybody's on the spot, and they're trying to say the best thing for that moment and that exact situation that they're in. So it causes some hesitancy and some of our imperfect natures come forward, I'd say,
sure.
and express themselves. But that makes it human. To me, it makes it more interesting.
When was the last time you reported on a case this big here in the county courthouse?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Has there been one, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been some big cases.
Mm-hmm.
But jury trials are getting to be very rare.
They always have been
in my last, in the 23 or 4 years I've been in newspapers. They've been relatively rare, but it seems like they're getting more rare all the time. And very seldom does a defendant go all the way to jury trial. Always has that right.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the prosecutors will offer to settle for a lesser charge, and it's pretty tempting for the defendant to take it because you never know what the jury is going to decide.
It's a roll of the dice in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's very much a roll of the dice in a lot of ways.
And, the other factor, it's a real there's a lot of these situations. I always like to diagnose them as there's two sides. There's the ideal way it should go, and there's the real reality way it goes, the practical aspects. And
sure.
one of the practical aspects of trials is they're expensive. The attorneys
sure.
get paid, and they've done a lot of research. And, sometimes you have to pay for a witness to travel into the court to testify, and it gets to be really expensive. So there's some practical reasons to settle out of court, too,
mm-hmm.
aside from a jury verdict. So that's another reason we see very seldom we see them. And I can't think of exactly the last jury trial. I can remember 3 or 4 that I've attended that were pretty major, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has been the biggest news in the courtroom for quite a while, I would say, locally. So. Again, this court set to resume today. I was so confused. Last week, I was looking at things and saw that things were going to resume Tuesday. That's so weird. Why would they resume Tuesday? I forgot yesterday was Columbus Day.
I kind of forgot, too.
I was looking at the calendar late last week, and Monday's Columbus Day.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But slipped my mind.
Well, actually, I was listening to Mugs in the Morning yesterday, and Mike Groney brought it up, Senator Groney.
Yeah.
So, But,
it is Columbus Day.
It is. But the courthouse was open, and the county commissioners met, and a lot of things were going on, even though it was a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But the district courts were closed, and the county courts, I believe, were closed, too, yesterday.
Okay.
So we're here today. So we expect a full day today and probably at least a partial day tomorrow, but who knows? Could be a couple, 3 more days yet.
We don't know. It's hard to tell exactly. And for example, there was a local police officer who was on the stand Thursday into Friday of last week. Was it 7 hours on the stand last
Probably
Thursday?
Probably was altogether. It was 5 hours on Thursday, and then he came back Friday and testified again. So it's probably about right.
And I don't think that early predictions were that was going to be 7 hours worth of testimony from that witness necessarily. So
I never heard
it's hard to tell
on that, but there's a lot of he basically summarized the whole police investigation and all the aspects of it and showed evidence of what they found, and there was a lot of pictures, a lot of diagrams, maps, and etc. And recounted the witness testimony from the woman involved, who was an eyewitness. And so he recounted her version of events that she'd given him at the police station, or given the investigators. So there was a lot of information, and there was a lot of back and forth. So the cross-examination was fairly extensive. Then the prosecutor would do what they call a redirect, which is another set of questions. Then there may be another cross-examination period. So went back and forth, and Ed Lipomich was there, and he said it was basically a lot of the technical information got distilled into plain language through that for the jury, so they could understand it better.
Got down to brass tacks, you'd say.
Well, kind of, yeah. A lot of then there was a forensic a scientist that had done an autopsy, a second autopsy, actually.
I was going to say, there was two autopsies
on the body,
done.
Yes, and so that was a kind of a technical medical terms, a lot of those. So that kind of got distilled down, too.
Sure.
So, it's an interesting case.
Yeah, interesting to say the least. And folks, if you're looking for a recap of it last week, the bulletin is out now. You can pick it up, 75 cents at your local convenience store, gas station, restaurant, and always check it out as well, NorthPlatteBulletin.com. We'll continue recapping that and talking about what else is in the current edition of the North Platte Bulletin right after this, as you're listening to Mugs in the Morning on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
Hometown banking with hometown people, Equitable Bank.
This financial minute is brought to you by Equitable Bank in North Platte. Visit them online at equitableonline.com. Use your bank as an information resource. A good banker can be an excellent source of advice and information, not just for banking tips, but also about starting or expanding a business, buying a car or a home, qualifying for a loan, or dealing with a debt issue. He or she also might be able to direct you to good contacts in other businesses or have excellent reference material handy. All of this is yet another reason to get to know the right people at your bank. This message brought to you by Equitable Bank in North Platte, the only bank you'll ever need. 920 South Jeffers, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hometown banking with hometown people.
Today is the day. After countless hours of research, cutting back expenses, and 9 months of anxiously waiting for her, today is the day you finally bring home your new car. It's also the day to protect her with an auto policy from Shelter Insurance. Our policies are competitively priced and include new car replacement coverage if anything were to happen to your new baby.
To find an agent near you, visit shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
The past year and a half has been a challenge. We've been reminded of the importance of following health and safety guidance from medical experts. I'm Jenny Benson, president of the NSCA. As teachers, our goal is to keep our schools open and our students in the classroom, because we know in-person teaching and learning is best for our students. We need your help to keep our kids healthy and learning.
Sponsored by the Nebraska State Education Association, aired by the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Dave Ramsey inviting you to tune into the Dave Ramsey Show on News Talk 1240 KODY. Our show provides common sense advice that works. We call it God's and Grandma's ways of handling money. Tune in for a proven plan that's worked for millions of Americans for 25 years on the air. It's the Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Husker Radio congratulates the award winners from the North Platte Area Chamber of Development Corporation's annual meeting in early October. Congratulations to the new Business of the Year, Downtown North Platte's Good Life on the Bricks. Also hailing from Downtown North Platte, the Entrepreneur of the Year, Sarah Talbot of the Flower Market. And a big congratulations to the Volunteer Effort of the Year, the North Platte Community Built Playground. Husker Radio says congratulations, and we look forward to another year of successful business growth in our community.
Lincoln County's outstanding news alternative is the North Platte Bulletin. For 17 years, the Bulletin has informed you of breaking news, courts, entertainment, state news, and sports from Lincoln County area, courtesy of an experienced staff that delivers unbiased and honest news coverage. Pick up a copy of the Bulletin in Lincoln County and surrounding towns. Subscribe or check out NorthPlatteBulletin.com. Annual subscriptions come at an affordable price. The Bulletin, your homegrown hometown newspaper.
Heard the Irish on the radio.
And the Irish win it!
Now watch North Platte St. Pat Sports on HuskerRadio.com. Presented by QuickStop. Live video with the radio call included. That's Irish Athletics on HuskerRadio.com. Presented by QuickStop.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. We'll see a few spotty showers and thunderstorms at times here for today. Otherwise, a blend of clouds and sunshine develops, a high in the low 70s. Windy southeast winds increase around 25 to 30 miles per hour, gusting as high as 45. And for tonight, a chance for showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and a low near 40. By Wednesday, skies become mostly sunny, high 59 degrees. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
And welcome back to Mugs of the Morning here on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM, both proud members of the Husker Radio Group. Tristan Winder, glad to have George Lobby right alongside us here for a Tuesday, October 12th edition of KODY's Mugs of the Morning, presented to you by Shelter Insurance Agents Pete Bowles, Brent Rogo, and Bo Witt. Big news that we were talking about a few moments ago is the murder trial of Keith Allen that is underway. He's been accused of the shooting death of 25-year-old Brett Torres in May of last year, and that continues today at the county courthouse. What time did they get started, George?
I believe they started either 8 or 9.
Okay.
Not exactly sure.
Yeah, it's stubborn
this morning. So, but yeah, that's a long day.
Mm-hmm.
If they go all the way, they take a break at mid-morning, they take a break in the middle of the afternoon, too, to kind of give everybody a chance to stretch their legs. But the jurors also have a notebook that they can keep some notes, but they have to leave that in the courtroom.
Sure.
So, but it helps kind of keep things straight because mm-hmm. there's a lot of information there.
I can't imagine trying to keep all that. There's a lot of information, like you said a few moments ago. Things aren't always in the simplest of terms or in conversational
right.
aspects, especially if you bring in a medical witness, like
right.
somebody that conducts an autopsy.
Right.
Have to have things broken down in some ways. So.
Right. And, or they might, the information might come out of order. So they might jump from, you know, what the autopsy indicated happened at the scene and what happened at later for some reason. So you got to kind of piece it all, put it back together.
It's a process.
So that's they got a pen and paper there. They can use the old-fashioned way to keep track of stuff, gather their thoughts. You know, I want to I don't talk about the jury too much because it's a private activity at this mm-hmm. point. They're cautioned not to read any newspapers or not to talk to friends or acquaintances or strangers, and not to do any research on the internet about the trial and. And that's good because that keeps a focus on the evidence in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Keeps
presented.
Things focused on the courtroom itself and the process there.
Right. That's where the rules of justice really apply, and the balance and the time allotted to each side to present their cases. All that weighs in, and that's the fairest setting to hear the evidence. So that's the way it should be, but. I served on a jury one time, and it's a tough job, and I want to acknowledge the dedication that it takes. It's basically a voluntary job. I think you get a little stipend for your time there, but it disrupts your family, it disrupts your job, normal activities, and you have to agonize over one of the heaviest decisions you're going to have to make in your life,
mm-hmm.
and especially in a murder case. So
somebody's fate is in your hands,
right?
Quite literally. So
it's a grueling job, and it's really it's another great thing about our system of justice that you get a jury of your peers to decide these things, but it takes dedication and civic mindedness from people to participate. So
absolutely.
So yeah, thanks to them for
absolutely.
Doing that.
Thank
thanks
you.
Thanks to their
absolutely.
Families that are
making a sacrifice. Also,
yeah, they're probably not listening, but maybe some of their families are. Yeah, you know, we feel for you. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
So so we'll see what happens in another couple days anyway.
Yep, it's going to be an interesting week. And, again, the anticipation is the county will present its final witness, then the defense will begin to present its case. That was the anticipated this week.
Yep. Anticipated plans. So it'd be interesting to see if the defendant is put on the trial, is called up as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a big question in a murder case like this. So we don't know. We'll
Time
see
will
what
tell,
happens
my friend.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
And we'll have reports for you, for
yep.
the readers.
Bulletin, keeping up to date with all of that. You can catch it out online, northpipebulletin.com, and in the print edition as well. And before we wrap up, George, page 2 of the bulletin, unique burial held at Fort McPherson.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A family had a father and two sons were buried with military honors. They died at different times in the past. Their ashes, cremains, had been kept by family members. And then one of the family members says, you know, let's have see if we could have a service at Fort McPherson, because Dad always thought that would be a good final resting place. And so they made arrangements. And the interesting thing was that the military, three different branches, the Marines, Air Force, and the Army, brought soldiers to pay their respects.
How cool.
To the fallen, yeah. So it turned out to be a triple burial. Plus, the dad's wife had died, too, at some point.
Okay.
So her cremains were buried, too, at the same time.
Interesting.
Next to her husband. They're all in a row, one of the survivors said, and they had some pictures. He lives in Grant, Nebraska, and a photographer from Grant was there and took pictures and shared it with the media, So we have pictures of the situation, too. There was a rifle corps, too, that fired a gun salute. And one of those members called me right afterwards and said that they'd never seen anything quite like that before.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
The write-up in that, also in the current edition of the bulletin.
The highest honors and respects go to those people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, George, as always, we appreciate you stopping by Tuesday mornings. It just flies on by, my friend.
Hey, good to be here. Thank
you. Appreciate the time.
Yep.
Encourage folks to catch up on what you and Ed are bringing to the public out of the interesting court situation that's going on throughout the week. You know, continue to have updates, like we said a minute ago, in the print edition and online as well, northpipebulletin.com.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to have a good day out there, too.
Absolutely.
Let's have a good one. Yeah.
Wrap it up with a quick check of our time and temp. Thanks to Mike and the crew from your local Grease Monkey, 859, and it's 46 degrees, folks. It's going to wrap up Mugs in the Morning on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW. As always, presented to you by Shelter Insurance Agents Brent Rogo, Pete Bowles, and Bo Widd. Community strong all day long.
This coming Monday.
The House will vote on legislation suspending the debt ceiling through early December, putting off a fight that threatens the U.S. and global economy. Republicans have argued Democrats should act on their own as they work to spend trillions on President Biden's Build Back Better plan. Last week, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said Republicans would not block debt ceiling legislation, clearing the way for the measure to reach the House. The vote is scheduled for later today. Once passed, the president is expected to sign the bill. Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
Moderna is asking for federal approval of a third booster shot of its coronavirus vaccine for Americans 65 and up and younger people considered high risk. The company says its data supports booster shots after 6 months to raise antibody levels. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is banning private companies and any other entity in the state from requiring coronavirus vaccines for employees or customers. Some companies in Texas had already announced vaccine mandates. At least one person on a small plane and one person on the ground are killed in a crash in Southern California.
The plane slammed into a UPS truck and skidded into several homes.
We have 12 homes that have been impacted, two of them complete losses.
Justin Matsushita is the deputy fire chief in Santee, California. Neighbors rescued two residents from their burning home.
You could see the side window of her living room and flames all over the living room. And so we opened the door or the window and said, come out this way, and pulled her out of the window.
The plane's pilot, a cardiologist from Yuma, Arizona, and the driver of that UPS truck were killed. The National Transportation Safety Board launching an investigation.
Fox's Jack Callahan. An elderly couple was rescued from one of the houses hit that caught on fire. America's listening to Fox News.
Big news from Simply Safe Home Security. Okay. Actually, I think the horns are too much. Yeah, that's better. Big news! The new wireless outdoor security camera is here. Yes, Simply Safe's award-winning home security just got even better, taking whole home protection to a whole new level.
Okay, I'm missing the horns. Simply Safe is celebrating this new camera with 30% off a new system this week. Visit SimplySafe.com.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit LoanDepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
A medical examiner in Wyoming this afternoon is scheduled to release results of an autopsy on Gabby Petito. Her body was found there last month, a week after her boyfriend was reported missing by his parents. He'd returned home to Florida from their road trip alone and is now wanted as a person of interest in her death. There's a financial agreement over an electric car recall due to burning batteries.
General Motors and LG Electronics have reached agreement on how much GM should be reimbursed for costs involving the recall of Chevy Bolt electric cars. GM says LG will pay for the recall, which will offset $1.9 to $2 billion worth of expenses. GM blames issues in the cars with manufacturing defects in LG's battery modules. Though GM says LG is a valued and respected supplier, and it expects to begin repairing customer vehicles this month. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Hurricane Pamela is getting stronger, moving along the Pacific coast of Mexico. It's expected to make landfall somewhere around Mazatlan tomorrow and then hit parts of Texas with heavy rain later this week. The first team advances to the next round of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
The Boston Red Sox are on to the AL Championship Series. Kike Hernandez's walk-off sac fly RBI in the ninth, giving Boston a 6-5 win over the Tampa Bay Rays to take the AL Division Series 3-1. Over in the National League, the reigning champs are on the ropes.
Fly ball left field, hit pretty well. Back on it is Pollock. This ball's carrying, and this ball is gone! Evan Longoria!
Call courtesy of TBS, Evan Longoria's solo homer in the fifth is all the San Francisco Giants would need as they blank the L.A. Dodgers 1-0. The Dodgers now on the brink of elimination, trailing 2-1 in the NLDS. This says the Atlanta Braves blank the Milwaukee Brewers 3-0 on the back of 5 scoreless innings from Ian Anderson to take a 2-1 series advantage. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden resigns over old emails where he spoke disparagingly about women, gay, and black people. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
RE/MAX sells more homes than anyone else, with more experience than any other real estate agents, with more knowledge and a network 100,000 strong. We're not the best because we sell more property. We're the best because of our agents. On any given day, we are mentors guiding buyers to the perfect home, advisors helping families make smarter decisions. We do more behind-the-scenes work to make buying a new home as smooth as possible. Call Kobe Rickardson at RE/MAX of 422 North Dewey Street, North Platte, 308-534-4622.